Tonight, God's Word comes to us from Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, we'll be reading the 18 verses of this chapter. And in fact, we're going to begin our reading back in Deuteronomy 34, beginning at verse 5. That prepares the context for the beginning of Joshua chapter 1. So please turn to Deuteronomy 34. We'll begin reading at verse 5 of that chapter. What we hear now is God's Word. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Baal Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed, and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, none like him for all the signs and the wonders the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and for all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I have promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, "Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, 'Prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go to the place to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess.' And the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, 'Remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, "The Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over, armed before your brothers, and shall help them, until the Lord gives rest to your brothers, as he has to you, and they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession, and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise.' And they answered Joshua, 'All that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him, shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, tonight we begin a series of sermons on the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. Joshua is a beautiful book. It records for us the history of God's people, the continuing history of God's people. In Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, we have the beginnings of creation, the beginnings of God calling a people to be his own. We have some of that story retold in the book of Deuteronomy, and then Joshua carries on the story. It's a book that speaks about a time of transition for God's people. And so it seems like an appropriate place to begin this phase of the ministry here in the church. We are, in a certain sense, at a time of transition. We have had a certain prophet in the pulpit for the last year, and now a different voice comes. We are going to see maybe some things change. Who knows what the future might hold? And in this time of transition, God came with a word of encouragement, a word to Joshua, and a word to the people: be strong and courageous. Children, ever wonder where a minister gets his sermon titles? You know, sometimes we have to think up catchy titles. I don't do that very often. Sometimes the titles, kids, come right out of the passage. I bet if you read this passage, you could figure out what the title of the sermon should be. Because what is said over and over again? Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, be strong and courageous. The last verse, be strong and courageous. What does God want us to get out of this passage? Be strong and courageous. And that's the message we hear tonight. A message of encouragement, both for Joshua, the leader of God's people, and for the people themselves. Because you see, Joshua is a book not only about the history of Israel back then. Joshua is a book of transition in their life, preparing them to enter the promised land. But it points forward to a greater Joshua, a greater leader of God's people. And I bet if I asked you kids who that was, you'd be able to tell me. Who does the book of Joshua point forward to? It points forward to another Joshua. A Joshua in the New Testament. Oh, we know his name as Jesus. That's the Greek way of writing his name. But when Mary called out the door to call him in for supper, she didn't call out, "Jesus, come in." No, she spoke Hebrew. "Joshua! Joshua, time to come in." Jesus' Old Testament name is Joshua, the one who would take his people truly into the eternal promised land. Joshua is not only a story about the history of Israel, it's a story about the future of the church and the assurance that we have that we can be strong and be courageous. This is an encouraging word that comes from God. An encouraging word, first of all, for Joshua himself. Think about the leader Joshua had to follow. He followed Moses. Chapter 35 talks about Moses. "And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt." Joshua needed this encouragement. Following Moses, the one who had been the leader of the people since the beginning, the one who had been God's spokesman both to them and to Pharaoh, the one who did the great signs and wonders, those 10 plagues on Egypt with the flies and the darkness and the water and the blood and everything, this Moses, Joshua has to follow. That's a tough act to follow. God comes to Joshua with encouragement. Be strong and courageous. "Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you."
What an encouragement for one who will take up the charge to be the prophet for God's people. To be the one who will now speak from God to the people. And I can't help but apply that to us, in that God, who has spoken to us through His prophet, Brother Alanz, now speaks to us through a new prophet. But the same message comes through. It might be delivered in a slightly different way, a little different mannerisms, but the same message. Be strong and courageous. Just as I was with your predecessor, I will be with you. Joshua needed this word of encouragement because of whom he followed. And he needed it because of who he would lead. The people of Israel. Joshua knew them. He had lived with them. He knew their history of rebellion. The Israelites were not a content people. They were in the wilderness and they wanted food. Where's the food going to come from? And God sends them food. And then they get tired of that food. We want something else. They wonder, where are we going to get the water from? And God sends them water. But they complain about that. They complained about God sending Moses off to the mountain and being gone for so long. They wouldn't wait for Moses to come back. They had a continual lack of trust in God. Joshua knew who he was leading. A rebellious people. A discontent people. A sinful people. Now, we don't want to draw the parallels too closely. But I think sin is still a problem today. As it was in the former charge I served, sin was a problem there. I trust it is a problem here as well. It is a word of encouragement to be strong and courageous, because in spite of the rebellion, these are God's people. These are the ones that He is leading. God gives this word of encouragement to Joshua: be strong and courageous, because You are leading them on My behalf. They are Mine. They belong to Me. It was a word of encouragement for the people as well. Now think about these people. They had lost their leader. Moses, who had been with them from the beginning, although they always weren't pleased with him, they knew him. They knew what to expect with Moses. He had walked with them throughout their journey in slavery and throughout the promise, to get into the promised land, to get ready right at the door. The people needed encouragement. Now, Brother Alanz was here for a year, which may not seem very long. But in the light of the history of this church, that's most of its life. Some of you come from other congregations. I can't help but think of the Orange City Church, Redeemer, where Brother Pontier was the prophet there for over 20 years. To follow someone like that, the people need encouragement that ultimately God is their leader. Some of you come from other congregations where the minister has been there a long time, and now you have someone new. God is still in control. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be alarmed. God comes to encourage the people because not only that they'd lost their previous leader, but they were facing challenges for the future. They had been brought to the brink of the promised land. But don't forget, what stood between them and the promise was the Jordan River. I can't help but think some of them were mumbling in the back of their minds, "Oh, I wish Moses was still here and he could just part this water and we could walk through." They don't know how they're getting across yet. Not at this point. They faced an uncertain future. The challenges. How would they move forward with this new prophet from God? But God says, don't be afraid. Be strong. Be courageous. I am still in control of all things. We sit at a new chapter in the life of the Sioux Center United Reformed Church. And there may be challenges we face for the future. We've already, I'm sure you've noticed today, the bulletin looks a little bit different than we're used to. A change that can make us nervous, it can make us unsettled, but fundamentally the same. So too with the preaching ministry of the church. The The character may change, but the content will be the same. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be worried about the future. God's got everything under control. And He knows what He's doing. It was a word of encouragement to them, both Joshua and the people. It was an equipping word for them. Telling Joshua that he could take up his charge because God Himself would equip him to be strong and to be courageous. We sometimes think about the great leaders in the Bible and we think, what magnificent men. We think of Abraham, we think of Moses, we think of Joshua, we think of Aaron, all these great men in the past. And we say, oh, we could never be like that. We could never lead God's people like that. But we're reminded that their qualification was not in their person. It was in their call by God to be a leader. Because each of these men, still fallible and sinful. Abraham, we read about his lack of trust in God as he lies about who his wife is. No, she's my sister instead. He's afraid and he lies. Moses, when called by God, tries to get out of the service. I don't want to do it. I can't speak well. Aaron, jealous over Moses' position. Joshua, trying to stop people from prophesying the word of God. All of these men, fallible and sinful, and yet qualified because God called and God equipped by the power of His Spirit. We read in Deuteronomy 34, verse 9, Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the Spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. The Spirit given to the servant. That's what qualified the great men of the past to be leaders. Not their own person, but the office to which God called them and then qualified them with the giving of His Spirit. Well, you know, as the Church of Jesus Christ, God has given His Spirit to you. He has qualified you for service in His kingdom. He has qualified you to take up the task He's given to you, to serve Him wherever that task might be. Whether that is directly in the offices of the church, whether it's your work at home, whether it's the office tomorrow, whether it's on the plow. God equips you with His Spirit to do what He has called you to do. Be strong, be courageous, don't worry. For the Word of God is your refuge and your fortress. Joshua, when called to serve as the leader of God's people, that call does not come in a vacuum. That call does not come out of nowhere. But it comes because Joshua, throughout his life, had been living in service to God. We go back and read to the book of Exodus the way that God prepared Joshua for service. He was a great warrior. In the battle against the Amalekites in Exodus 17, Joshua is said to be the one who is victorious. Now, God gives the victory, but Joshua was there fighting as a warrior. God equipped him already then. He is the servant of Moses, the assistant of Moses, the one who was there at Moses' side, being ready and equipped for ministry. He is the one who, when Moses would go to the tent of meeting, Joshua right there with him. He was the one who was the spy sent out to look at that new promised land and came back with the good report. In fact, his name was changed to Joshua. His name was originally Hoshua, which means salvation. But it was changed to Joshua, meaning God is salvation. The servant of God, but throughout his life, he was being equipped for this task God brought him to. Perhaps you aspire to a task of leadership in the Church of God. Perhaps you aspire to the eldership. Perhaps you aspire to the diaconate. Perhaps you aspire to the ministry of the Word. And young men, if you aspire to that ministry, oh, I want to encourage you. There is nothing more glorious than I know. And the privilege of studying God's Word all week and then bringing it to His people on the Lord's Day. It is a glorious calling. But God doesn't call in a vacuum. He takes us along the way. I guess I have to ask you, if you aspire to leadership, what are you doing now with the gifts God has given to you? You say, but my gifts are so minimal. You know, all I can do is greet at the door. All I can do is serve in the nursery. These are wonderful callings. These are wonderful blessings. Use the talents and gifts God's given you now in His service. And He may make other opportunities available. But if we ignore the opportunities now, don't expect to be put in a leadership role when we won't take the steps God puts in our path to prepare us for that leadership. Joshua, the servant of God, has been walking with God and learning alongside Moses for years before he comes to this position. What are you doing now to prepare for greater ministry in the church? What are you doing now to use the gifts and talents God's given you right now to bring honor to Him, that you might go on to other ministry that God might have in store for you? Be strong. Be courageous. For you are equipped by the Spirit of God Himself. This word, be strong and courageous, is an encouraging word, it's an equipping word, and it's an explained word. A word that is not completely new to them, but a word that goes back to something they know. Verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Now catch this. Being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. The word of God that would come to His people to direct them was the word of the law of Moses. Joshua would receive messages from God. We don't know how that exactly happened, but he would receive direct messages from God. But God says to him, don't first of all rely on those. Go back to the word you know. The written word, the explained word, the law of God. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Go back to what you know to be that solid, firm word of God. As we go forward in the future, we must always return back to the trustworthy word God has given to us. Sometimes we say, you know, I just feel God calling me to do this thing. I just feel God directing me in this way. And God does work through our feelings. But we always test those feelings against the word that we do know. The explained word, the inscripturated word, the word of God. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. Meditation on the word of God. Not just a quick, you know, in the morning, let's see, I got to find a text for my devotions. Let's see, this looks like a good one. Okay. But a plan of studying God's Word and meditating upon it. Or we spend a few minutes in the morning reading the Word of God, taking it in, and then not shutting the Bible and forgetting about it. But letting that Word live with us throughout the day. Perhaps at lunchtime, opening our Bible once again and reading that very same Word. That we meditate on the Word of God. And then for devotions at supper time, once again, turning back to that same word to see the truth God has given to us there. Not simply a one-time read, but a meditation, a reflection, an ongoing thought about what God says to us in His Word. Meditate on it morning and night. Do not let this word depart from your mouth, speaking about the Word of God. As we meditate on that word, then perhaps at night around the dinner table, we talk with our family. You know, this morning in my devotions, I read Joshua chapter 1, the first few verses, and I've been thinking about it all day. Let me share with you this verse. And we talk with our spouse, and we talk with our family, and we talk with our roommates about how the Word of God has impacted us during the day. We have meditated on His Word day and night, and then it doesn't depart from our mouth. We talk about it with each other. I hope that following the worship services, morning and evening, particularly you as families, spend time talking about the message. Now, this is not the time over the Sunday dinner table to have roast preacher. Okay, that happens in my house, reflecting on the mistakes the minister made that morning. But I hope you think about the Word of God that was preached and how that message impacts you as husband, wife, child, student, employer, employee, retired person, all of us. And we talk about that with each other. It's a trustworthy, explained word. And then God says through Joshua, "And then I will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success." Perhaps not the prosperity that the world promises, financial prosperity, but a spiritual depth, a spiritual strength, that when faced with the hard times, when faced with the challenges, when faced with the hospital room, we can be strong. We can be courageous because we know our God, the one who has spoken to us in His Word, the one who has promised, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you." True strength, true stability, strong and courageous in God, that He will be with us, His presence given to guide us. We know that God sent His presence, God with us, most beautifully in His Son, Jesus Christ, the one who came and lived and dwelled among His people, the one who came to take away our sins and bring us to heaven, the one who gives us new life, and the one who, when He went back to heaven, sent His Spirit, the equipping, empowering Holy Spirit. So whereas Christ is not with us now, His Spirit most certainly is with us now. God with us through the Spirit of Christ, helping us face tomorrow, whether it's our day of work or our day of school or our day off, to go forward in confidence. People of God, we're at a time of transition, a time of glorious looking to the future. We look forward with confidence. Be strong. Be courageous. As God has been with you in the past, so He will be with you in the future. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Let's pray together. Lord our God, how we thank You for the beauty of Your Word and the stories of Your people. Stories that not only describe Your work in the past, but that affect us today and remind us of the work of that great Joshua, Jesus Christ, the one who gives us new life and who goes with us in that new life by the power of His Spirit. May we ever, O God, turn once again to You and to Your Word for encouragement and for equipping. May we go to that truth that we know, that is sure, that is firm. And may that guide and direct us. O God, strengthen us for the future. Help us to be strong and to be courageous. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen.